This is a replay of the Wednesday night, December 10th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us, and that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and we've got 3 hours to spend together. I hope you'll join me, 888-876-5593. So it was in July that we heard from Kimberly and her mom, Jeannie, 91 years old, and sounding like she was 45, actually. And they told me all about Elizabeth, who is Kimberly's daughter, who was going to give them a Christmas present. And yesterday she did, and she's calling us from Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. So Elizabeth, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. It is so nice to be with you and talk to you, and I am so grateful. Thank you for having my mom on the show last night and announcing our beautiful, beautiful boy, Christopher, and I love your music, and I love your show.
Well, this is just so nice. This is great. Now, let me ask you, Christopher's now been with us a whole day. How do you think he's liking it on Earth so far?
He is the coolest, laid-back baby, and it's such a blessing. It's so surreal to have a baby, and you're carrying the baby, and then to see the baby and be with the baby.
Yeah.
And I'm just really grateful, and he carries the tradition. His father's name is Christopher. My grandfather, who was married to Jean, was Lyle, and he exposed me to music. You're a musical person, and when it came to jazz, and having music in my life, my grandparents, including my grandma Jean, played a very integral role in my taste for music. And my grandpa Lyle was someone who I think is worthy of carrying on that legacy through my son.
Yeah.
And so it's very, very surreal and great. And he is a wonderful, wonderful baby. And I'm sure everyone says that about their baby, but I'm very lucky. He's very, very calm and beautiful.
Now, yeah. If you're still saying it when he's three, it'll be a miracle, but they will be great years, I am sure. Now, are you from New York originally?
No, I was raised in Dalton by my mother, Kimberly, my grandparents. Mm-hmm. I was raised in Riverdale and Dalton. Those were blue-collar railroad steel mill towns.
Sure.
And as a matter of fact, the Pope, my mom taught CCD at St. Mary's, where the Pope actually went to school. But by the time I arrived, it was just the church. And so we're actually from that part of Chicago.
All right.
Yeah.
So I got to ask, how did you wind up in Manhattan?
Well, actually, I make music, and I actually did speak to you in July. I was a flight attendant.
Yes.
Briefly.
Yes.
And then I went to school for theater at Circle in the Square.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting called back for Broadway. I grew up acting. I was doing things at the Goodman Theater, and then that brought me to New York. I was called back for Rent on Broadway, and then I fell in love with New York, and I just stayed.
Well,
and
great.
Yeah, that's how I ended up here. And then I fell in love with a New Yorker, and now I have a baby.
That's right.
That same New Yorker. Yeah.
Now, do you actually live in Manhattan?
I used to. I no longer do. I'm currently in Brooklyn.
Okay.
But I would like to come back to Manhattan one day. But I used to live in West Harlem, and there was a really great musical history. The building I lived in, I was a neighbor to Stephanie Parker, Charlie Bird Parker's granddaughter.
Wow.
And there was a famous trumpeter. I wish I could remember his name. Actually, he played with Anita O'Day, and he taught at Juilliard, but he passed away while I was living in the same building. And I can't recall his name, but he's actually in the Anita O'Day documentary. But there's just a lot of music culture in Manhattan and just great people.
That's great. That's just wonderful. So 2026 is going to be a great year for you.
Yes, and my family. I can't wait for my Grandma Jean and my mother, Kimberly, to meet the baby. And, you know, it's hard being apart, but moments like this, you know, you feel connected to the people you love, and what you offer and what you do is just so special. And I greatly appreciate
it. While we're at it, since Kimberly has called, we are going to say hello to her here in a moment and see if I can't not screw this up and bring her on.
Great.
Yeah, you know, normally I'm pretty good at this, but for some reason it's not working out just like I thought. So, well, I'm going to try to bring you on the same line. Normally I give you both your own lines, but we'll see. Kimberly, are you there?
I'm here. John told me to hold on to listen. I didn't know you were going to call me.
Hi.
So we're on a conference call, huh?
Yes, you are.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm amazing. It worked, actually. It's not the way I planned to do it, but here you are, and you're talking to each other, so all's well.
This is beautiful.
John's pretty cagey.
This is just as cool as the lighting of the tree at Rockefeller Center or the parade. This is that same kind of magic. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure for doing that. And I'm going to see if I can, while I'm at it, actually put Kimberly on hold so we can do this correctly. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. I will. If I hang up on either of you, call back. But I think I'll get this straightened out so we can all talk together and all hear each other. And then we'll get to Eduardo and Tampa later. And there's plenty of room for you, too. It's a night of celebration for Elizabeth, Kimberly, and Jean on WGN Radio.
It's baby's first Christmas. It's something to see. Mommy and Daddy trimming baby's Christmas tree. Baby's big brother is busy with his chores. He's shining up the chimney for Santa Claus. It's baby. Shopping all around for every pretty toy. It's a very special Christmas, a blessing from above.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, it's Connie Francis. And yesterday we had Kimberly say, "Could you play Baby's First Christmas? I've never heard it." I said, "Yes, and you'll never want to hear it again." It was actually a flip side of a 1961 hit, "When the Boy in Your Arms is the Boy in Your Heart," which really wasn't that much better. But I have figured it out, and I think we have both Elizabeth and Kimberly with us. So there you go, Kimberly. You've now heard Baby's First Christmas.
Okay, you have another surprise. You have Jean, too. Hello, Raleigh.
Right.
You're trying to make me cry by putting three generations, or now four, on this line because I'm 91 years old and I've never experienced anything like this.
Oh, man. Well, it is great to hear from you, Jean. Right now, your cell phone is killing you. I don't know why. But Kimberly, are you with your mom?
Yeah.
Well, figure it out because her cell phone just kind of went away on us.
Or went away?
Yeah. We only got part
of
what she said.
Where we are. Can you hear me any better?
I hear you perfectly now, yes.
Okay, well, I'll hold it.
Okay. No, Kimberly will hold the phone for me because I don't want to lose you.
Well,
you're
that's
something special in my life. You might not know that, but, you know, not every 91-year-old person has experienced something like this. And, oh, my God, I just hope that you have very long, healthy life, you and John. And I wish you so much. And, you know, in the future, it's people like you that are going to make this world survive because you're just special. And I sincerely mean that. And by putting Elizabeth on from New York, I'll tell you that couldn't be more special because I cried for so many days and just hoping and hoping that everybody would be well there in New York because it was a long, long time she was in labor.
Yeah.
And after experiencing my mother with her eighth child at 43 and having that major stroke, and I was left to be that baby mama, I said, please, Lord, come in, come in. And he did.
Yes.
He blessed me. I couldn't ask for any more. My book will be closing, but I got to know that my granddaughter and the great-grandson, and Elizabeth was so nice to give him the name Lyle,
yeah,
because he was a perfect husband. I knew him since I was 16 years old in school.
Uh-huh.
And he went to the Korean War, and we had 52 years together. And we would have been married 70 this year. And Raleigh, thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So, Elizabeth, you want to talk to your grandmother?
Hey, Grandma.
Hi.
Hi, little one. How are you?
I am great. The baby's in the background now. He was crying a little bit. They go through a feeding frenzy in the second day. Yeah, so
he has to get used to it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first time. So, yeah, but I was feeding him.
You know, he's been in cage for 9 months, and he's out now.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, of course. All-inclusive vacation, everything is gone. Now it's different, right?
The move is over, and
he
is here.
A good mom, because you're a loving, loving granddaughter and daughter, and you know, you'll be a good mom, and you're going to all make the world this a better, healthier, you know, a better place. It has to be.
I love you, Grandma.
To grow up healthy and strong and knowledgeable and with faith.
Well, good deal. Yes. Well, so when do you go home, Elizabeth?
Tomorrow.
All right.
I had a great team here at Mount Sinai. They actually let me play music. The baby came into the world with a bunch of beautiful music. Abby Lincoln, Live for Life is what I think was playing.
There you go.
And
I hear him in the background. He's going to be a singer
yet. Yeah, that's him. That's Christopher Lyle, Beckwith, right there in the background. And,
all right.
Thank you for having us.
Of course.
And thank you.
Of course. Well, I'll let you get back to Christopher. He's hungry. And
Yes.
And Jeannie and Kimberly, it's a delight. You sound great, Jean. I just love it. So keep it
thank
up and
you.
Call me again soon.
Oh, thank you. We will.
Okay.
We'll keep in touch.
All right, thanks.
And you take care of yourself and John.
All right.
And just have a lot of love for each other, and you'll get through being 100.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Jean. Appreciate it.
Okay,
so,
bye-bye
yes,
for now.
Worlds of luck to Elizabeth and Christopher, and, of course, Kimberly as well. So everybody's over the moon, and I know it was a long wait seeing how's this going to turn out. Well, it turned out just great. And so we'll get to, let me see if I can not blow up the phone system by undoing this. I think I can, actually, which is hard to believe. But Chris wanted to weigh in and say congratulations from South Carolina. So, all right, Chris.
Hey, congratulations to you, Elizabeth. You got my baby's name. You got my name, and
yeah,
you picked the right for it.
All right. Well, good deal. Well, I've got one of your requests coming up tonight, Christopher, so keep listening.
Okay, and that Connie French song you played, I just got it. It's hard. It's a tear-fighting song, too.
Yeah, well, it actually charted. It was the flip side of When the Boy in Your Arms, which was a top 10 record, hard to believe, in 1961. And Baby's First Christmas did very well in Europe for some reason.
Yeah, I think that's more sad than Where the Boys Are.
Yeah, well, she's
on the Ed Sullivan Show.
She's got a lot of them, that's for sure. All right, well, Chris, thanks for calling.
You're welcome, Raleigh.
Right. Talk to you later. All right. So 888-876-5593. Now, yesterday started to talk about something wonderful. It actually isn't wonderful at all. It's probably horrible, but it's the kind of story that I just love. I don't know why I live for these stories. So here's Waymo, and they got a contract to drive in Austin, Texas. What could possibly go wrong? Eduardo from Tampa joins us. How's it going, Eduardo?
Yeah, good evening. And there was a story today where in San Francisco they delivered a baby.
Well, I'm sure they delivered a lot of babies in San Francisco. Do you mean Waymo did?
Well, the Waymo.
Really?
Yeah. That was in the news today. Yeah.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah.
I bet you that's
what
one
a coincidence.
Thing.
Yeah.
The driver didn't sign up for that, I'm sure. Yeah. Now, but here's the thing. It's an autonomous vehicle. All right. So here's a woman. She's pregnant. She calls Waymo. Maybe that's not the best choice, but Waymo arrives, obviously, autonomously, taking her to UC San Francisco. So she gives birth, but there's no one there. Well,
yeah.
So apparently Waymo said they detected unusual activity. No, really? So... I guess.
Yeah.
And so they said we're proud to be a trusted ride for moments big and small. No, just no. And so apparently the vehicle was removed from service so it would be cleaned after that, I'm sure. But they're saying, Waymo said, now this was their remark, you probably heard it, that it was not the first birth in one of their autonomous cars. They didn't provide any details.
Okay.
I want to know about the rest of them. Wow.
Yeah, and then it was in Los Angeles. They got a guy pinned down on the floor. The Waymo sees, I don't know if they see it, but it stops alongside.
Oh, man.
Hey. As making a turn, it stops as there's upcoming arrest where the guy's on the ground and the police are in the back and...
Hang on a minute. I will leave you at the scene of that mayhem, and we'll pick it up right there after the news right here on WGN Radio.
From the Hotel Sheets in downtown Plunkettville, the Mickin Broadcasting Company presents the music of Pete DeAngelis and his loyal Plunkettvillevanians. Here in the beautiful gold, yellow, copper, steel, iron ballroom of the Hotel Sheets in downtown Plunkettville, overlooking the uptown section of downtown Pottstown. Stay with us, won't you, and enjoy the sweetest music this side of the Monongahela River. 1 mile high, 2.5 blocks from the center of old New Orleans. Ah, there's gaiety, merriment, and dancing in the Hotel Sheets nightly. Now, to get things underway, Pete and his loyal banditos play a medley of old standard favorites, commencing with Your Red Scarf Matches Your Eyes, Close Cover Before Striking, Your Father Had the Ship Fitter Blues, and Loving You Has Made Me Bananas. This beautiful picture and lovely lyric portrayed vocally by Dickie Ryan. Oh, your red scarf matches your eyes. You closed your cover before striking. Father had to ship bitter blues. Loving you has made me bananas. Oh, your red scarf matches your eyes. You closed your cover before striking. Father had to ship bitter blues. Loving you has made me bananas. Oh, you burnt your finger that evening while my back was turned. I asked the waiter for iodine, but I dined all alone.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It was Russ who requested that. No, always makes me smile. I'm sure they had a lot of fun recording to that. Yes, Pete DeAngelis is and his loyal banditos there. Pete actually had Chancellor Records in Philadelphia. And in fact, he produced Venus, the Frankie Avalon record, among other things. But there were a lot of other inside things in that. And it came out after the new vaudeville band had an inexplicable hit with Winchester Cathedral. Yeah, and I think I think they were just thinking one day, why not? And so that was the whole deal, just pimping the radio broadcasts of the big bands from days gone by. And yeah, absolutely useless information, but there you have it. And I hope Russ is listening, because probably no one else wanted to hear it. That said, we're back to Eduardo. And now, I tried to find where some of these other births were, and apparently one of them, in a Waymo, took place in Phoenix. I can't get any other details than that. I still can't imagine. You're in labor. Obviously, at this point, you're seriously in labor. You call the Waymo? You know, I just can't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know you want to save on an ambulance or whatever, but don't you have a human being who can take you? Anyway, so here we have it. And it's a great story as far as that goes. But then you say to yourself, well, how did Waymo know? And that's the oogie part. Do you know how Waymo knew? It's because there are cameras all over those cars.
Yeah, and there was some kind of team that was, I guess, tracking the vehicle. So they were able to come to the aid.
Yeah, but the big thing here is that that a lot of people didn't realize that, yeah, smile, you're on candid camera the minute you get into that Waymo. So ain't nothing private about it. And I guess that's probably a good thing all the way around, but there you have it. Now, of course, that's icing on the cake of the Austin story, which is still amazing to me. And, you know, you brought that up last night, and over 20 Waymos have blown through school zones, ignored school bus signs and kids in the zones and everything else. And that's 20 known incidents where tickets were issued. God knows how many incidents there were, really. And from what I understand, Waymo, when asked to discontinue routes by schools, said no, that they recalled the software. Well, they may have to be recalling the kids. This is not good.
They said they fixed the problem, and then they came back and they were caught
doing it again. Exactly. Yeah, that was really scary when they said they fixed the problem, and there it is. It's still happening. So so much for the and you know, I don't know, but in some municipalities those tickets could be very, very pricey. So of course, you know, when you got a driverless car, I'm not sure who gets the ticket, but I'm sure the state of Texas is going to figure this out. So,
oh yeah, I'm sure they will. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know,
but
what you,
I don't see myself being in one of those.
Absolutely.
What about, yeah, she says, no, she's not, she doesn't even like going on the boat. So
yeah. No, I'm not doing this. So, but people do it every day. And apparently now they do it when they're in the throes of labor. That still is alarming to me that would be somebody's idea. But there you have it. And Waymo says they're proud of it.
Had a happy ending, you know.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, it would be a just a horrible story if it didn't. But it did have a happy ending in that. But I don't know. Now, of course, San Francisco, that actually gives them some good press, because the last time they were running over and killing a beloved neighborhood cat. So that, that wasn't a great story there. But the idea of not stopping at, you know, in crossing zones and for school buses, that's so frightening that the company would say, no, we're not going to discontinue the routes. They're just saying, well, we fixed the software, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I would assume they're operating under state auspices, but I would think this is time for Texas to maybe rethink that contract.
Yeah. So, and I guess they're working on going to other states. So,
Of course they are. No, they're obviously they want to be nationwide, and in some cases, of course, they're looking at you know, doing semis on the interstates. So yeah, if you're not worried time. Exactly. So I'm not sure what you do in this kind of situation, but it does bother me that they weren't a little more upset about this.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to see. I don't want to see airplanes, especially like that one that went in the news. They were landing right on top of a car on the freeway.
I watched that so many times, because when you think, and for people who didn't see it, it was in Brevard County near Cocoa, actually in Cocoa, right by the King Street exit, actually, where here's a car on I-95 in one of the center lanes there, just moving along, and a plane lands on them. crash lands on them. Now, when you think about it, though, if you, and obviously the pilot couldn't control anything, and it was a tragedy, good tragedy from the standpoint of no one was seriously injured, which is a miracle. But here's the thing. If you were trying to do that, because this guy lands smack dab on top of this car. I mean, it was a perfect landing. It was as if he was trying. But if he was trying, he probably never could have gotten it that perfect.
Yeah. So, maybe he was trying to, I mean, he was obviously trying to minimize, you know, the damage by,
well,
maybe they're thinking by going on the on a car that would maybe.
Well, no, I don't, believe me, I don't think he was trying for the car. I guarantee he wasn't trying for the car, but, you know, he was probably hoping to get a stretch of interstate that wasn't going to have a car on it, but that's kind of hard to do when you're on I-95.
Yeah, I mean, on the freeway, I mean, with the cars coming.
Well,
yeah.
But, you know, what,
not like a regular street.
Well, in some ways, you know, I mean, it could work, but it probably statistically had just as much chance of missing cars as hitting one square on. I mean, he didn't graze the car. He landed directly on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I tell you, I probably watched that 20 times.
Thank God nothing happened.
Yes,
exactly.
Exactly. Well, you know, we say we look to the left or right before crossing. Now we're going to be look to the left or right or up before crossing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, interesting stories.
Yep. All right, so tomorrow I got a Bucks game in that nice cold weather over here that the whole country's going through a freeze, so I got to dress well for tomorrow night's game.
Well, that's the beautiful news about cold weather. You can always put more clothes on. It's when it's in the summer and it's 130, there's only so much you can take off. So, bring a couple extra jackets and something warm.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, have a good time.
All right, Riley. Well, yep.
All right, thanks.
Yep.
Appreciate
it. Have a good weekend if I don't talk again, okay?
Indeed. 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. Yeah, speaking of planes, this is an anniversary of sorts, not a happy one. We'll talk to Karen and Madison about that coming up on WGN Radio.
If I had to choose just one day.
If I had to choose just one day to last my whole life through, it would surely be that Sunday, the day that I met you. Newborn whippoorwills were calling from the hills. Summer was a-coming in, but fast. Lots of daffodils were showing off their skills. Nodding all together, I could almost hear them whisper, go on, kiss her, go on and kiss her. If I had to choose one moment to live within my heart, it would be that tender moment, recalling how we started. Darling, it would be when you smiled at me that way. That Sunday, that summer.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That, of course, Nat King Cole. And we talked to Rita in Harwood Heights last night. And she said, well, play some nice stuff like Glenn Campbell or Nat King Cole or Bing Crosby. I've got all three for her tonight. And that, of course, my all-time favorite Nat King Cole record. That Sunday, that summer. Capitol Records, 1963. Just doesn't get better than that. All right, so 888-876-5593. Karen and Madison, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. How are you?
Yeah, I'm here. It's a reasonable night.
It's the same.
Yeah. So, but it is it is December 10th. So, of course, you're in Madison, and it's impossible not to remember that this was the date of the Otis Redding crash.
That's right, because it happened a mile and a half from my house, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I'll never forget this day. And, you know, it just, they say it was the weather. It was drizzling. Now we get a foot of snow on the ground, but it was 58 years ago, and they don't mention that there was three other people on the plane, you know.
Oh, of course there were. And by the way, as you probably know, one survivor. And that's the,
right.
That's the amazing story, the story of Ben Colley. And Ben Colley was asleep when that hit the water and woke up, literally couldn't breathe, and he looks out and he sees what's going on and undoes his seatbelt and gets out of there. But, man, I'll tell you, it was horrible for him for many years, because my God, the guilt of being the only survivor. But he went on to reform the Barquets, and they did stuff on Stax. In fact, Holy Ghost, my favorite Barquets record, was actually the reformed Barquets with Ben Colley. So he was there, and then he left the group and later had a stroke. He's been gone about 10 years now.
He is dead.
Yeah, 2015. That was 2015. But he had a stroke in 89, which was pretty debilitating, though he really came back from that and was performing. But what's interesting to me about that date is the day before they had been in Cleveland, and they were on Upbeat, which was a local TV show there. And because they were on Upbeat, they thought, yeah, we can get a gig in at Leo's Casino. And Leo's Casino in Cleveland was about the place as far as that goes. In fact, that's where Berry Gordy always liked to send his acts to try them out and all that. And so they did a rousing night at Leo's Casino, and then the next day got on that plane, and that was it.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, life happens. And,
you just don't get things like that.
Well, you also, the thing to remember is that life turns on a dime, and that's both good and bad. You know, if you're at a point in life where things are looking like it can't get any worse, well, you know, it might turn out to be a great time. You don't know. That's the way life turns. And unfortunately, the other way, too. Believe me, none of them thought that this was a problem. But, you know, obviously, I didn't know the flying service. I didn't know the pilot. But what I will say is that the continual thing you hear so often is, well, they knew there were weather issues and all that. And you really have to wonder who made the decision to make that flight.
Right.
And we don't know.
We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. And there's
and it could have been on drugs. We don't even know.
That's unlikely.
That's highly
unlikely given this situation. So I don't think the pilot in any way was compromised. I would strongly doubt that. But regardless, it's as it is. And what's fascinating, of course, is the hits that most people remember were posthumous hits for him. I mean, he did a lot of wonderful stuff when he was alive, but obviously Sitting on the Dock of the Bay was released after he was gone. So, it happens. But, of course, he wrote Respect. That was a big hit for Aretha. And
You know so much. Raleigh. I don't know how you know about every single thing.
Absolutely useless information. Believe me, thank God for radio. You couldn't peddle this anywhere else.
But there's those of us out here that love AM radio and without politics. And there isn't much around.
We're here, but I'll tell you, as bad as the internet can be for some things, it also is a great repository, especially with like old R&B and stuff. You'd be surprised how many people will write, either they've got a blog or they've got something else going on. And I'll tell you, every day that I'm online, I learn something I didn't know. Now, nothing about this, obviously, because I knew about all this, but there are other things where I say, wow, I didn't know that. So sometimes just having an internet connection is not a bad thing. You just have to watch that you're not on the political sites.
Well, I'm not on any site now because I don't know what a nap is, and I don't like to even say that out loud.
No, well, that's fine. Some of it's really, really easy as far as that goes. You know, you get yourself a laptop rather than a phone, and if you can't see it, there's so many things that enable screen readers and stuff to bring that to you that there really is no impediment to doing it anymore. But for people who have vision problems or other problems, I do not advise the phones. Go with a laptop.
I've got a laptop, but what an app is, I don't know.
An app is just short for application. It's a program. But forgetting about the programs, there's a lot of sites you don't need a program for. You just go to a browser, and in the search bar, you know, that's one of the few good things about Google.
Yeah.
All right, well, I've ended the hour, okay. But I will talk to you soon. Yeah. Thank you, Karen.
Okay,
appreciate
thanks.
It.
Bye-bye.
All right, and time to do the news and more, and then get back to Don and Beloit and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
When you just give love and never get low, you'd better let love depart. I know it's so, and yet I know I can't get you out of my heart. I fell for you. Love brings such misery and pain. I guess I'll never be the same. Since I fell for you, well, it's too bad and it's too sad.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Fine. Lenny Welch, 1963 on Cap, Since I Fell for You. And that was another Rita in Harwood. Was it Rita that wanted here? Let me look. I actually have notes on this of who requested what and when. Of course, they've disappeared now, but oh, man, I tell you, yeah, doing four things at once here and clearly apparently not doing any of them too well. All right, so let me see if I can't find that list so we'll know exactly who it was who wanted to hear Since I Fell for You. Oh, it was Charlotte. All right, Charlotte, I don't know. Oh, speaking of listeners, and we're going to talk to Don and Beloit in a moment here, we haven't heard from Jim in Wisconsin in a few days now. And we're starting to get a little worried. So, Jim, if you're listening and can check in and tell us what's going on, we would love to know. Last we heard, he was brave in cleaning out the house and preparing that he would be making a move. But we hope that that things are well. Now, as far as Since I Fell for You, you know, that goes back to 1947. And, one of the first versions, it wasn't the first, it was actually the second version, but Paul Gayton did a wonderful version of that.
For you, love
was Annie Laurie who was singing, of course, Paul Gayton playing. The guy who wrote it was Buddy Johnson, and he also released it in 1947. It was Ella Johnson on that one. So, yeah, it goes way back. And, of course, Dinah Washington also did it in 47, a number of others. And then Roy Hamilton had it out, and the Harptones. The Harptones had a really nice version of that. And the Spaniels had a good version. Earl Grant. Yeah, Etta Jones. Notice I didn't say Etta James. Believe it or not, Wilbert Harrison did it in 1960, and Lloyd Price in 61, Barbara George, and the Skyliners. I played that version. I really like that. And then, of course, Lenny Welch comes out with it in 63, and man, it is just a huge, huge hit. But there are probably close to 400 different versions of that. Everybody from Lou Christie to Fontella Bass. So, all right, 888-876-5593 takes us to Don in Beloit. What's happening tonight, Don?
Hey, Riley. It's all cold and snow, but it's lovely snow and weather up here. It's great in Wisconsin here.
Good.
I'm sorry, who was that? I didn't catch that 1947 woman that you just played a few seconds ago?
The vocalist, it was part of Paul Gayton's trio, and the vocalist was Annie Laurie.
Okay, I'm writing this down. Oh, shit, yeah. That was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was the first R&B version of it, which I really, really liked.
Oh, that was great. Well, and one more thing, like maybe one of your first ones was the Bandidos, that Pete. I didn't catch his last name.
Oh, yeah, Pete DeAngelis. Yeah, it's one of those useless things that, you know, I can only use on talk radio. But that was one of my favorite, because it was so funny and it was so... you know, kind of in there, but yeah, Guy Marks did a from the hotel sheets in downtown Plunkettville. The Publican Broadcasting Company presents the music of Pete DeAngelis and his loyal Plunkettvillevanians. Yeah, here in the beautiful gold, yellow, right. Copper, steel, iron ballroom at the hotel sheets in downtown Plunkettville, overlooking the uptown section of downtown Pottstown. Yeah. So I also
Ponca-Hila River. Oh, that right. Really got me crying.
Right. Stay with us, won't you? And enjoy the sweetest music this side of the Monongahela River, 1 mile high, 2.5 blocks from the center of old New Orleans. There's gaiety and nightly. There's gaiety and merriment and nightly in the hotel sheets. Yeah, of course there is. Yeah.
Wow, your memory is amazing on that. But I think you and I are the only ones that get some of those geographical.
Oh yeah, well that's why. Like I say, I'm sure they had a lot of fun recording that. Pete DeAngelis did play on it.
Pete DeAngelis. Okay.
Yeah,
Pete
yeah.
DeAngelis.
He
okay.
was with Chancellor Records, and he's the guy who he actually first took Venus, believe it or not to Frankie Avalon. Frankie Avalon was a far backup choice. He was convinced, and now I'm trying to think of the guy's name, an old line Philadelphia guy who kicked himself to his grave for turning this down, and he wouldn't do Venus. And so they gave it to Frankie Avalon. Of course, it was a huge hit. Now, what the hell was the guy? I could see his face and can't think of his name. It'll come to me. So,
hey, Riley, yeah. you mentioned Monday night, Joan Armatrading turning 75, and
yeah.
That's good. Oh, that's amazing. That's just amazing how she came, you know, just kept plugging away at it and yeah. came to fame like later in her career. Could
Al
you
Martino,
play one
wait
of
a minute. Al Martino, that was it. Al Martino, he turned it down cold. So Pete DeAngelis went to Frankie Avalon, who, of course, said, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, Joan Armatrading.
Well, yeah, you want to play one? Like, you can pick any one you want, but I like Willow. I mean, you can pick. She's so many great hits, but how about Willow from 1977?
Maybe Drop the Pilot.
Okay.
We'll do something.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite one of hers, but I saw her, I was trying to figure it out, in Royal Oak, Michigan, in a little theater, and you never know who, you just run into your old friend, you're like, oh my goodness, I ran into so many people I knew in 1983, maybe, when I saw her play for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what's our friend in Japan's name? I really like
Naoto.
Naoto. I really like him a lot. He's got a really funny sense of humor, although we all struggle to hear what he's saying. He kind of gave me this theme of, I think he was talking correct the other day about, like, what does it take to get a job that you enjoy? Was that
Well,
what
that's
he was
not
saying?
So much what does it take, but how many people
career.
Are doing jobs that they enjoy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Or how many people are just working as a means to an end. And
right.
as I say,
it's a great theme, right?
Yeah, I could certainly see value in both.
Yeah, Frank, I thought your program isn't really about world postmodern architecture, but I thought we should mention that Frank Gehry, probably the most famous living architect, certainly in the world, he died on Friday, and he was such a great guy. And I got a really cool hockey story about him.
Okay.
And his real name was really Ephraim Goldberg, and he changes it early coming out of Toronto. He changes his name because he thinks he's going to be discriminated against being Jewish. Well, it's really, it's kind of a sad state of affairs, but that's what he did. And
a lot of people,
he changes it to Frank Gehry.
Yeah, a lot of people. Sure. And remember, he was born in 29, so he grew up in an 29. Era where a lot of people didn't necessarily want to
sure.
broadcast those names. And
right.
but you know, so many people have done that. I mean, let's face it, we all wear Ralph Lauren. Would we wear Ralph Lifshitz? You know, because that's who he
right.
was. So you know. I mean, not,
well, you
can not
say
necessarily
that
bad
between
thing.
You and your Lipschitz there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right. Exactly. But no. But you know, whatever you want to call yourself, call yourself. But yeah, he was Toronto. He was born in Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah. He really liked hockey live. Well, the point I was trying to make is he like many people, he really came to it. You know, through three or four other paths failing. You know, he tried L.A. truck driving. He tried L.A. radio. He uh-huh. tried chemical engineering. He eventually figures out USC School of Architecture.
Yeah.
Goes through USC and graduates. And he's also an Army veteran. Like, thank you, Frank, for serving for us.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really get successful with this furniture thing that he does, postmodern furniture. It's called Easy Edges. He doesn't really get famous with that till like, he's 40.
Right.
And then he just hits on deconstructionist architecture at the right moment. He redoes his bungalow like at age 50, and he just becomes like world famous for redoing his house in Santa Monica or wherever. Yeah. So anyway, you know, of course, Bilbao, Northern Spain, you know, his most famous work and titanium. I mean, to people that maybe don't know him, he would literally take crumpled pieces of paper that you would just throw out in the basket, and he would turn these into like postmodern titanium skin beautiful buildings, like the L.A. Opera House, L.A. Concert Hall, you know, which I went to right when it opened. I was right there in the lobby when it was starting to open. So. He's still a hockey guy. That's a great thing about him. He was still like a regular dude from Canada playing hockey. And I didn't know this until I was researching it later, but he gets Michael Eisner gets him to do for Disney. He wants to build a practice arena for the Anaheim Ducks, and he hires Frank Gehry. And Frank Gehry makes this thing like based on his childhood, like
right.
these two wood Quonset hut kind of old fashioned, what you'd see on the prairies in Western Canada, let's say. And he turns this into this beautiful old fashioned double ice rink in Anaheim called the Rinks. And that opened in 95 when he's 66 years old, and he was still playing hockey then. So anyway, I just thought it was a great story. Like, I think I really don't know that much about Frank Gehry. I saw a few documentaries, but he probably really enjoyed his work once he figured out what he liked doing. You know?
Yeah, my favorite actually the building that's right by Trump Tower. It was Beekman Tower. They've changed the name now. I think it's like 8 Spruce or something. But it's in Manhattan, and it's a beautiful building.
Oh, I don't know that one. What's it called?
Well, it was originally Beekman Tower when I knew it, but they call it 8 Spruce now, I think.
Okay.
And it's right by Trump,
yeah,
Trump Tower.
Okay.
Look it up. You'll see it. I just think it's a really neat-looking high-rise. I think it was the first really super high-rise that he had done. So check it out.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's so great talking to you, Riley, as usual.
Well, always, and we'll talk to you soon.
One more quick thing.
Yes.
That Otis Redding plane that went down, you know, oh, terrible tragedy in 67.
Yeah.
It was a beach, a twin beach, really common. It was a really good plane. I was kind of curious what plane it was. It was a really, really good plane. They made over 9,000 of them.
It was an H-18.
Beechcraft H-18S.
I don't think there was any question about the plane. No, right. I didn't hear anything about it. It was an H-18, and like you say, there were a ton of them. And so the plane, there were questions about the weather, but, you know, who knows?
It looks like the weather was really bad.
There was a lot of fog. There was a lot of rain. But that's an approach. Yeah. You know, I don't know what they had when they took off from Cleveland. Not that it's that far, but even so, I hate to second guess a pilot as far as that goes, but I know that the ATC conversations, the pilot did report having some issues, and then of course there was impact. But so I don't really know. I just know it wasn't the Beechcraft. I don't think at all.
Right.
So
well, as usual, great show, and we'll talk to you sometime.
All right, thanks, appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Riley. Good night. Bye.
Yeah, never heard. Anything about the plane being at fault, and they've never determined it. They'd never recovered the left engine, the left propeller. But I'll tell you what, you know, when you go into the drink, when you're going into water, especially water that cold, it's slim pickings what you get back. We've got Craig in Barrington. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Craig.
Hi, Roy. How are you there?
All right. How about yourself? What's up?
Good. You know, you were just talking about that plane crash in 67. I remember I was a freshman in college, and there was some other Barclays?
No, Barclays. That's it. All of the Barclays except for Ben Cawley. That's absolutely right.
That was
a whole day. Hang on a minute. I realized I forgot to do something. Don't go away. Stay where you are. And we'll do this and get back to it on WGN Radio.
I spend the night in a chair thinking she'll be there, but she never comes. And then I wake up and wipe the sleep from my eyes, and I rise to face another day without her. It's just no good anymore when you walk through the door of an empty room, and then you go inside and set a table for one. It's no fun when you spend a day without her. We burst the pretty balloon. It took us to the moon. Such a beautiful thing, but it's ended now, and it sounds like a lie if I say I'd rather die than live without her.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's for Rita in Harwood Heights. You wanted Glenn Campbell. She's Got Him Without Her from the Gentle on My Mind album, 1968. Harry Nilsson wrote that. But that album was a great album, actually, for him. And Al DeLore produced that. And, good. Leon Russell arranged it, by the way. All right. So we'll get back to Craig and Barrington in 1 minute. Well, a little more than 1 minute. Make it six. Coming up on WGN Radio.
King Kong! Monkey out of me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Who else but Tarantula Ghoul? Yeah, 1959 on the Tarantula label. Meadows Records, actually. Suzanne Waldron was Tarantula Ghoul and arguably the best of the horror hosts on 50s television. I thought she was just great. She actually was an actress, and in fact, the people at KPTV saw her doing something in Macbeth, and I can't imagine what the role was because they said, she's our late night horror house, House of Horror. And so it was that that they hired her. And you had Tarantula Ghoul show up. And she was just terrific. Partially based on Vampyra, Myla Nurmi's character. And Nurmi, of course, had the Vampyra show, which was in the mid-50s as far as that. It was in Los Angeles television. And, you know, I mean, later you've had other people try the same bit. But House of Horror with Tarantula Ghoul was just as campy as it came and really terrific. And there were grave diggers, of course. Grave robber turned gardener Milton, and many they had a boa constrictor baby and others. And Jeffrey in Portland remembers it, and he said, "I want you to play King Kong." And yeah, one of the two 45s that Suzanne gave us. All right, so 888-876-5593. Talking to Craig and Barrington, going back to Memphis and the Bar Cage. So yeah, Craig, unfortunately, all of the Barquets except two, and the reason were Ben Cawley survived the crash, but the other guy, Alexander, wasn't on the flight. He missed the flight, didn't miss it, actually. There was no seats available, so he took another flight, and he was the one that sadly got that call when he landed, James Alexander. So that was it, and they reformed and backed all sorts of people on stacks like Rufus Thomas or Isaac Hayes or Staple Singers or all that. So, yeah. What else?
Well, I was originally calling, but when I heard your conversation prior, it was here's another death. I just one of my favorite groups was Steve Cropper just passed away.
Oh, I know. We did a night on him, talked about him quite a bit.
Oh, you did. I missed that. Okay.
Yes. It was sad all the way around. Last time I saw him, and I talked about this, when he in about 15 years ago now or so did this tour. And in fact, the guy he did it with, why can't I think of his name right now, but died on the tour in Tokyo. But anyway.
Oh, that's Donald Duck Dunn.
Yeah, right. Duck Dunn.
He was the bass.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I saw them at Park City High School in Utah. And it was the world's worst sound system. And they were going around. It was the two of them. And they also had on that tour Eddie Floyd. And
really? Knock on wood, right?
Well, and my favorite, Never Found a Girl to Love Me Like You Do. And of course, when he sang that, I basically cheered, and everybody else in Park City looked at me like I lost my mind, which I would expect. But Steve was going strong. But recently, I think he had a fall or something, and I'm not sure how that happened. But I don't think everybody knew he was a little not doing well, but they didn't expect him to die.
Is he the last one? I mean, you mentioned the drummer of that group some weeks ago in a passing conversation that you thought he was one of the better drummers around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, but anybody left from Stax, you mean? That's an interesting question. Anyone still alive?
Booker T. Jones.
Yeah,
Well,
I hesitate to say yes because I get it wrong anymore. But I thought Booker T. was. As far as that goes. But he's 81 years old, and he's in Memphis. So good. All right, that's good. But I didn't really consider him. I mean, he was terrific, and we played on a lot of stuff. But not like the Barquets and the Marquets that were virtually on everything Stax did.
I just thought that I think I was at University of Arizona in Tucson there, that's where I went. I heard this for the first time. I think I ever heard "Time Is Tight."
Oh yeah,
I really like that too.
Absolutely, there are so many Booker T. instrumentals, but yeah, the drummer I was talking about who was so terrific. Of course, he's been gone 50 years. That was Al Jackson Jr., but he was murdered.
Oh, so that was that's right.
Yeah, that was in 75, but that's been a long, long time. But yeah, I think that Steve Cropper, I think he fell. I don't know if he broke a hip or whatever, but he was in a rehab hospital. But like I say, everybody sort of expected he'd be going home, and instead he died.
Yeah, you break a hip, you never know.
Well, it's true. I recently came across the survival rate on that and was stunned that it is as low as it is, and lower for males than females. You know, I mean, more women tend to break them because of osteoporosis and all that, but more men within the first year tend to succumb. I mean, those figures are staggering to me. So
yeah, when you start getting older, you start thinking about those things.
Yeah, boy, do I. Are you kidding? Yes, I'm circling the drain as we speak. Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, you read some of those statistics and it's just like, whoa, boy, I think I'll stay in bed. So,
you start between friends and musical, you know, for me, it's you know, either the old ball players or the musician or the musical groups and then your friends. And it seems like somebody's dying all the time, you know.
Of course.
But I thought they were really good. Their sound was great. And I think I'll never forget, I saw I think it was a video, maybe it was on YouTube or something like that. I saw it, but they had, wherever they were playing, they had the, it was a Creedence Clearwater Revival were in the wings and they were filming them, watching them play. And They were going crazy. They seemed to really like the sound too.
Oh yeah,
it was funny.
No, you can't get away from it. The guy who played drums on Holy Ghost for the Barcaves was Michael Beard, and he was terrific too. In fact, that's my favorite drum solo.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yes, you got to go. You got to go pull that sometime. It's just wonderful. Holy Ghost. Yeah. All right.
The other guy that just I think died in the last day or two is the lead singer for the Mavericks. Did you?
By the way, Chubby Tavares of Tavares, Chubby and the Turnpikes died. Yeah, that was horrible for me. The Mavericks don't know as much about them.
They had an interesting sound. You were trying to figure out whether they were country or whether they were, you know, they just didn't fit into one slot at all. But I thought they were kind of neat. They had some things that I did like, you know. I wasn't a huge fan, but they did have a couple that I really thought were really pretty good. And they had a good stage presence too.
They were originally from Miami, and I knew who they were. Obviously, Raul Malo was one of them. And
that's the one that passed away.
Oh, Raul. Did he? I'm sorry to hear that. And he was not old. I think he was like born in the mid
'60s.
Yeah. Well, that's young.
I think he had cancer. He died of cancer.
Yeah, I know. He was one of the kids who born in Miami, actually, but part of the groups that fled Castro in the earlier years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I was aware of them, but just by the time you get to 89, it's sort of like out of my, out of anything I really know much about. But
That's what my wife always tells me. I'm living in the music in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny you say that because I always used to tease Carol Ford, who sadly is no longer with us, my best friend who used to do my show prep. She was great at classical music. And I would always say, you're playing the greatest hits of the 1600s, the 1700s, and the 1800s.
Yeah, that's true. Well, anyhow, I just had to check in with you on that. So nice talking
Likewise.
To you again.
Call me again. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Raul.
Yeah, well, that's sad about him. I did not know Raul had died. And like I say, I didn't know him, but certainly knew of him because he was part of the Miami crowd. So, all right. Now, 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Before we get to David from Muskegon, hang in there. I see Jim in Richmond is alive. Well, thank God for that. Jim, how are you doing?
Hello, Raleigh, and thank you for taking my call.
Oh, yeah, well, we were worried.
Yes, and it's been a lot of calamities been going on with the doctors and everything.
I'm so sorry.
And then the war with the censors and all of that. But the funny part, what happened is no one's allowing me to go out. No one's allowing me to go to shovel or anything. And then the first Saturday that I got out, we got 14 inches of snow. And then I go to let Bear out, and what my vision is very poor, and I'm yelling at him to get off the porch and go potty. And then so I took his leash and gave him a shove, and he sunk all the way down.
Oh, geez.
Because I didn't know it was that deep. So then I got, so then I did a little shoveling, and then I paid the price when I came back in, you know, my chest hurt and everything. And then my brother had to come up from Bristol, and he had to cut paths in the snow, and it looked like France in World War One with all these trenches going through the yard.
Oh, man.
And Bear was running through the trenches to find a spot to go, you know, because it always happens every year in, out here.
Well, sure.
And we've had one snow after the other. Mm. So now, after last night's rain and everything, it's all frozen. And I can't shovel it, you know, and I just have to let it go.
Of course.
So that was that. And then going with the calamities, I had that chest monitor on, and then I had my arm sensor on for my blood glucose.
Right.
And then after calling the Abbott Laboratories and saying that it's not, you know, it's working, but it's beeping every 5 minutes telling me it's not working.
Right.
I went through 4 sensors.
Oh, jeez.
They told me to do this, do that, do this, do that. And then I, you know, so that got frustrating. And then finally, I was told that they're both on Bluetooth and they're both not going to work together. So I took the chest monitor off.
Okay.
And I don't know how they put that on, but I had to use 2 hands to pull it off my chest.
Okay.
With all that tape. And I got it off because that wasn't working either. So then I finally, by the way, the CVS is gone.
Okay.
It's been 4 days.
Okay.
I have no apparitions, so that's gone. So then I go to the retinologist, and that was just right after, you know, that. And then we go there, and then he's, you know, he says, well, your eye is swollen, but we don't have any Kenalog.
Oh.
There's a shortage.
Oh,
and
no.
And that's to take the swelling down.
Yeah.
So he usually gives me Eylea HD, but he stopped giving me Eylea because the Eylea wasn't working.
Right.
So he says, well, we're going to give you a shot of Eylea. So I'm going, it doesn't work. He says, well, what else can we do? We, you know.
Oh, jeez.
So then you got to wait till, you know, my next appointment's in January. Well, that's the first of the year. I don't know if they're going to approve that shot or not.
Oh, God.
We're going to have to look into it, you know, because it's the first of the year,
right.
You know. And I told them that the Eylea HD has already been approved by Humana all the way to December 31st of next year.
Right.
And stuff like that. So then we got out of that, and my eyesight is very poor lately, but I'm getting through that. And then I went for my follow-up for getting out of the hospital, but this was with the nurse practitioner, and she is more into it than the doctor that I've been.
Yeah, that happens.
This new doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, she told me that my heart is good. The echo they did on good, no leaks or anything like
good.
That. And I told her I took the thing off.
Right.
And she said, yeah, you probably didn't need it.
Okay.
So I took care of that. And then she sent in another nurse, and I had the nurse download a new program for my sensor, and it's been working perfectly. So, and I think that was great then. All these people, the professionals that I've been asking how to fix it, and she just comes in, erases the old program, you know, the old app, puts in the new app, and it's been working perfectly.
Excellent.
But she says, don't sleep, because I sleep on my left side, because that's where the sensor is. She says, you're going to get readings of real low. So all of a sudden, I go to bed, it's 90, 99 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Within 5 minutes of sleeping on my left side, it says it's 69 and dropping.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and took my phone and I put it up against the sensor, and just while I was on my left side, and it, and the next thing I know, I hear it's 108.
Oh, jeez.
So I figured that one out. And then, so it's been, I've been listening all along. I just haven't called.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't know what's actually happening. And I'm just getting by. And like I said, these calamities of everything, I usually put my check for my mortgage in the mail. I put it in 3 days ago, but no mail has been picked up.
Oh, geez.
So I got the wall-to-wall, that's the carrier service. They're going to pick me up tomorrow and take me to the bank, which is only like 10 miles away, okay, and then bring me straight back home. So I got that settled.
Good.
So like I said, it's been a comedy of up and down.
It sure has, but it sounds, overall, it sounds pretty good comparatively, just a lot of stuff happening at once.
Right, and I'm so happy that I don't have any more of the Charles Bonnet syndrome.
Yes.
I am so happy. Every now and then I get like a little spot or something like that, but there isn't no characters in my face anymore.
And at least so you know what it is, and that's a big help, too, because when you don't know what it is, that's downright frightening.
And I said it to the retinologist. I says, okay, now
I had
the stroke.
Jim, I just realized something. I blew the brake. I blew two brakes, in fact. So can you hold
I'm
on?
Sorry.
That's my fault, not yours. I'm supposed to be watching this, so hang on. Don't go away.
All right. Sorry, John.
Yes, Adam, I think, was only need to apologize, but we'll be back.
From nowhere, through a caravan, around campfire light, a lovely woman in motion, with hair as dark as night. Her eyes were like that of a cat in the dark that hypnotized me with love. She was a gypsy woman. She was a gypsy woman. She danced around and round to a guitar melody. From the fire, her face was all aglow. How she enchanted me. Oh, how I'd like to hold her near and kiss and forever whisper in her ear. I love you, gypsy woman.
I love you, gypsy woman.
All through the caravan, she was dancing with all the men, waiting for the rising sun. Everyone was having fun. I hate to see the lady go, knowing she'll never know that I love her. I love her. A gypsy woman, a gypsy woman, a gypsy woman.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, of course, it's The Impressions, and that was a request, and let me figure out who requested it. All right. You don't even want to ask what's going on at this end, but you're going on at that end, and that's my favorite part. So we will we'll be back to it in a moment. But as far as that goes, it was Russ. Russ requested Gypsy Woman and a few other things, too, which we'll probably get to tomorrow night. So, all right, Russ, I hope you heard it. Now, we're back to Jim in Richmond and everything that's going on in his life, which is an awful lot.
Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So good. It sounds like it's very busy, but it's going to be okay.
Right. I just want to mention about the retinologist. I said, could the stroke have brought on the CVS? And he goes, who knows?
Well, that's right. And, you know, sadly, right. That's why I say it's the practice of medicine, because they're still practicing.
Right.
You know, nobody knows for sure. Like when John had his stroke and was asking about things like that, that was the answer he got universally for pretty much everything he asked. It's like, well, who knows? Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to say thank you to a few people. And then I wanted to put in song requests.
All right. What you got?
I want to say thank you for everyone that's worried about me, and I'm worried about Lauren, I think it is, having problems with getting a recliner and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Is that Lauren or Laura?
Laura.
Laura.
Yeah.
I hope she's doing all right.
Yeah.
And I hope, now I lost the name, the one in Richland Park.
Oh, Linda. Linda in Richland Park, yeah.
I hope she's doing okay, and she always mentions me.
Yeah.
And then I have, could you play 3 songs that James likes?
Oh, that's interesting. All right. Well, you know one of them is going to be Patsy Cline, because that was his absolute fave. So we'll do a Patsy Cline, and I'll look for 2 others, because I've got his request list here.
Right, because we're all pulling for him.
You betcha. And you too. So be in touch. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Right.
Okay.
And thank you. And to all the listeners, thank you. Don't worry about me.
Oh, we will. We will. So just check in.
I'm doing fine.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Okay. All right. So good. I'm so glad that Jim checked in, because I was just saying to John, you know, it's been 3 or 4 days and I'm worried. All right. Now, David in Muskegon, if he's still hanging in there, are you still with us, David?
Yeah, I'm still here. I've been here. I've been listening to you since around 12 o'clock.
All right.
And what I was wondering first off is what were the top 5 songs in December of 1980?
Well, why do you want to know that?
The reason why I want to know it is what were the songs that were out at the time that John Lennon was killed?
All right. So December of 1980, and I can do that, actually. I can just tell you what was number one the whole month as far as that goes. I don't have the chart book in front of me, but I do have something that will give me the other information that you want, or else I'll just get off my duff and get the chart book. But no, I think we're fine here. All right, so things like number one records for December and stuff. John Lennon, just like Starting Over, of course, that was after he was shot. That went to the top of the charts almost instantly. But before that, Lady by Kenny Rogers was number one for 6 weeks. Woman in Love by Barbara Streisand was big. But if you want more than that, I got to go get the chart book.
Oh, okay. So Barbara Streisand was number two.
Well, no, I mean, she had a number one record in that period of time. All right, so it's not a question of number one or number two. And, you know, those numbers are not realistic anyway. They're anybody's guess. Without getting up, let me try this. See if I can pull it this way. Okay, and what we would get... oh, man. Things like Olivia Newton-John's Magic, Blondie's Call Me, Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall. So those are some of them.
Oh, okay. Brick in the Wall by Pink Floyd. Okay.
So
there were some of them that were in the top in 1980.
More Than I Can Say by Leo Sayer was big, and Love on the Rocks, Neil Diamond, Hungry Heart, Bruce Springsteen, Another One Bites the Dust, Guilty, Hit Me with Your Best Shot, and more. So, Celebration,
yeah.
Cool in the Gang, that did well as well. So, The Police had a top 20 record then. Daryl Hall and John Oates did a version of You've Lost That Love and Feeling, which got to number 15 in December of 1980. Whip It by Devo, that was pretty big. That's some to go on.
Yeah, I was just curious of the because I remember some of those, because I was living in Kalamazoo at the time.
Uh-huh.
And this lady next door to me, she'd always have on WGRD. Uh-huh. And they started playing Rod Stewart's Passion.
Okay.
And then they started playing Rick Springfield. Jesse's Girl, and guy that ran the radio station, I've come to find out, because they only played 12 currents.
All right.
And then they'd play what were called recurrents.
Yeah.
You heard Gimme Shelter by the Stones.
Right.
And then Hugh Montenegro, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, from 1968.
You're right. But you wanted to know what was hit at the time rather than, you know, what somebody's playlist was. But Eddie Rabbit, I Love a Rainy Night, was on the charts. Hey 19 by Steely Dan was on the charts. There were a number of things.
Oh, that sounds good. Hey, thank you so much.
Well, sure.
And another thing I wanted to know, I had a request. I'd like Marguerite to call and tell us if she has playlists, what type of music she has on her playlist.
I have no idea.
And because I'd like for our audience maybe to get to know a little bit more about Marguerite, because it sounds like she could have her own program doing something.
Well, I'll ask her about her musical taste the next time she calls.
Yes, I would really appreciate
okay,
that.
Okay, sure, we'll find out.
Yes, and also, while you was talking about people that broke their hip and everything, I busted mine.
Oh.
And this was 10 years ago in my femur bone.
Ooh, that's big.
Yeah, I was in critical condition.
Yeah.
I didn't make it.
How did that happen? How did that happen?
I walked down the steps, because where I live, I have stairs in my apartment. I got down to the bottom, and the floor was real slippery.
Oh, God.
And my chore worker was up here. And was up here. She wasn't downstairs. And I opened the door to go get my mail. And I slipped.
Ooh.
A mouse came in. I kicked at it. And my leg went right out from under me.
Ooh.
And And that's how I broke my femur bone and my hip.
Wow.
So I went into the hospital. I was in there in a nursing home for rehab for 6 weeks.
Oh, sure.
Before I came back to my apartment, and I was lucky to have kept it.
Uh-huh.
And not had to stay in a nursing home.
Well, sure, of course.
And I came back, and I got, you know, because it just brought that to mind. I mean, you reading that story about a large number of males who break their hips and end up dying for some
yeah,
reason.
Yeah, but they're much older than you are traditionally. You were pretty young. Most of the time it's you know, advanced age because of osteoporosis, because of bone loss. These are not young people. That's why I asked what happened to you. You know, obviously there was something also going on with your bones, because normally as a young person, you wouldn't wind up, breaking a hip and a femur, if your bones were in good shape.
Oh my God. They're not in real good shape for some reason.
Well, yeah. So who knows what's going on, but at least you recovered and are here to talk about it, and all sounds good.
Yep, that's right. And I've been really busy. I listened to, of course, a lot of radio, being totally blind. And you was talking about, a friend of mine was talking about this iPad I can get that I can do emails on, and I can receive emails using Siri or with Google.
Yep.
And I called Best Buy, and I believe they have them for like $299.
That's a good deal.
Be going out there to see, you know, what I can get, and then you pay for, like, in-service, and a protection plan comes with it. It's like another $180.
I don't know.
And I don't know. And anything that goes wrong, they will service it in-store.
Well, that's not a bad thing. That's always good guarantee. And, yeah, iPads are iOS, and not my favorite operating system, but from your standpoint, you'll never know the difference.
What was that again?
iPads are iOS, like the phones. They're not OS. It's a different operating system. And so iOS powers the Apple phones and the iPads, and it's a slightly different operating system than OS. And, you know, you won't know the difference. You won't care. Me, I hear iOS and I break out in a rash. So anyway. Okay. All right.
Now, what is OS? Explain that to me.
It stands for operating system. And traditionally, Mac used to be in the older days, it'd be like OS 8 or OS 9. And then they came out with OS X, which was OS 10 that they had for years. They don't really do it that way anymore. They call them by name more than by number. So, you know, rather than saying you have OS 15, now if you do, you'd have OS Sequoia. Things like that, you know, as opposed to, say, Microsoft, which would make it Windows, like Windows 11, which is currently the standard. So
it's a computer.
Yeah, it's the backbone of how all this is, I've been sitting here on the air while we're talking programming computers. So, yes, making all sorts of noises about Windows 11, though it's not as bad as they say. Anyway, that part of it you will not need to worry about. They're usually simple, stupid as far as the interface. So, and the nice thing is with Best Buy, if you've got a problem, you just go to the Geek Squad and say, fix this.
Yeah, and that's what I'll do. Because she explained to me that, and they explained to me that it can be set up so that, like, Siri will tell me there's an email, and I can say, Siri, I accept this email.
Yeah, right.
And then I can go from there.
No, both Windows to a good extent and Apple are pretty darn good with accessibility interfaces. So, yes, as long as it's set up right, you should be just fine.
Yes, because I want to be set up so I can call Amazon and get my problems resolved, because you have to use email.
Yes,
for verification, they didn't used to, this wasn't a problem until like a month ago.
Oh, great.
Amazon.
Great. Well, you'll get around it one way or another, and someone will help you. So, you know, if you've got somebody at Best Buy who says, yeah, we're going to set it up for you, let them do it.
Oh, I'm going to.
All right.
I'm really going to do that because, see, music's a big part of my life, and radio. I love radio.
Yeah.
And I found another station I really enjoy, and that's it's an iHeartRadio station in a very small market, actually. Because they've been putting, I noticed some stations in very tiny markets. Let's see, it's 102.3 The Fox I listen to, and then that it's out of Ohio somewhere, a very small town.
Yeah, Mid Ohio. Yeah.
What is it?
No, I say their slogan is Mid Ohio's Rock Station. So yeah, I'm aware of them.
Lead Ohio?
No, they call it Mid Ohio's Rock Station because, like you say, it's fairly small town. You know, I'm trying to think what the city of license is for that. It'll come to me. But, you know, when they're, I think it's licensed to Marion, but I'm not sure. I'm going to look it up, but I think it might be licensed to Marion. So let's, I got a way to look that up. So.
That just struck my curiosity. Who the station was? What city it was licensed?
Yeah, I think it's a Marion license. But let me look. Or is it licensed to Galleon? Oh my God, that'd be very interesting to me. All right, it is. I'll be damned. All right, it's licensed to Galleon. All right, that's not far from Mansfield. And that's where Robert W. Morgan grew up, in Galleon, Ohio. Went to high school there.
Who did?
Robert W. Morgan. He was one of the boss jocks on KHJ a zillion years ago.
I remember him.
Yeah, well, he's no longer with us. But in any event, it's licensed to Galleon. And it's a little Class A, or what they used to call a Class A. I don't even know how they define them anymore. But it's like, you know, it's got like 3,500 watts that I don't know about, you know.
Oh, 3,500.
Well, it's about 3,500 watts at about 400 feet, you know, that. So it's not huge, but I'm looking at its pattern right now, looking at their transmitter location as we speak. So, yeah, all right. Well, how about that? I did not know. And yeah, it's it would cover Mansfield. I mean, on a good day, if you really like to DX, you could, you know, probably get it almost in Sandusky. I don't promise it, but that's probably the best you're going to do. So, yes, I can see why they'd say Mid-Ohio, you know.
Yes. it's in Galleon, like a town of 10,000 people.
Yeah, well, it covers Marion, and yeah, it would probably cover Mansfield. So yeah, that's it.
Oh my goodness! And it's a 3,500 watts.
Yep.
3,500.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the same as here, 101.7 WMRR is 3,900. Now, they have a potential of being 25,000, but they get a waiver, I believe, every month from the FCC not to broadcast at 25,000 watts because to save money on power.
Well, when you're talking FM, you can get effective radiated power of 25,000 watts without much wattage at all if your stick is high enough. You know, there's a lot of FM stations that are running 50,000 watts, but they're not actually, that's not their forward power. That's not what they're pumping into the transmitter. They may only be pumping in 1,000 watts into the transmitter, but if they're at a high enough vantage point, the ERP comes out to 50,000. You see, it's not like AM. On AM, if you're running 50,000 watts, you're paying for every last one of them. But with FM, the higher you are, the less wattage you need to use for your forward power.
Okay, for your forward power.
Yeah, that's what's going into the transmitter. That's what you're paying for from the power company. And John's...
Okay.
What? I don't know. John said, did you do a break? I don't remember. Hang on. Go away. I might... don't go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man, Freudian, I guess. Hang on. All right. I don't think I did. We'll do this on WGN Radio.
These are ever-changing times. It seems like I'm watching my life and everything I do, wondering if the dreams that I believed in can still come true. Caught in between, it comes back. All of our lives, and I had some big ideas. So much of my life still not completed. Hopes and fears, watching them change into something.
WGN Radio, I'm Molly James, and that's Sadia Garrett, and it was Chris in South Carolina who said, I want to hear Ever-Changing Times, and so he has, 1987 on Q West, and happy to play it for Chris. All right, now, we're talking to David. David, hang on, don't go away. Stay right where you are, because I am bringing Gary into the conversation here, because he says he's got advice for you. So, Gary, welcome to WGN Radio.
David, go away.
Oh, hey, Ellie. Yeah, I do have some advice for him. Try to find some blind iOS users there in your area, because you probably know a lot of blind people, and a lot of them probably use iPhones, and they can help you learn voiceover, because there are certain things Siri may not do or do effectively or efficiently. So you want to try to learn voiceover if you possibly can.
That's a good idea, as opposed to just Siri. So, David, are you hearing that? Are you with us, David?
Not just rely on Siri, but to use VoiceOver?
Yes.
Yes, okay, use VoiceOver.
Okay, screen reader. Am I right?
Yes, it's a screen reader. Yes, it's a screen reader.
But it's built in.
And it's built into the phone.
That's what I'm going to be doing, is getting, I'm sorry, screen reader set up, and I'm going to appreciate your help, too. And then I'll take it from their screen reader, and then I can tell it to tell Siri, because it'll read back to me like my emails. That's my understanding.
Yeah, well, and you can use certain gestures where you don't have to use Siri as much. It's a little more convenient in a lot of cases than Siri. And
okay, I'd have to learn the hand gestures.
Well, yeah, you can learn those. And actually, in the Settings app, there is all the voice. There's several voices. There's a voiceover tutorial in there, and you can go and look at play with that when you get your device. And it's
tutorial.
Yeah, there's a tutorial, and those, you know, and it's very good. And you make the various gestures, and it tells you what to do, and then it tells you to go to the next thing, and it's you know, you can familiarize yourself with that.
It's a good idea.
Okay, with tutorial, download, put have them download at Best Buy tutorial and put the tutorial.
No, the tutorial. Oh, no.
The tutorial is in. It's in the operating system.
In VoiceOver. Yeah, you go to accessibility and go into VoiceOver settings is where it is there, and you'll see.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah, you've already got it. And if you have the device, you've got it in the operating system. So you go to the operating system, and then you go to settings. And on settings, you're going to see a whole lot of stuff. But one of the panes you'll see, all sorts of things, many of which you'll never care about in your life. But you'll see something called accessibility. And that's the section you want to zone in on, because whether you can't see or you can't hear or whatever, they're accessible in all sorts of ways, and they'll tell you what, and they include a little tutorial to get you up to speed in using it.
Yes, I'd like to get up to speed in using tutorial as far as, because that has to do with hand gestures, am I right, when I'm touching on the screen?
Yeah. It's part of VoiceOver. It's tutorial just teaches you how to use VoiceOver. That's all it does.
Oh.
Yeah, you
tutorial,
just listen to it, and it'll tell you what to do, and you do it, and go on to the next thing.
Right,
and,
then you'll never have to look at it again. It's just a way to learn, and then you'll be able to use the program.
You don't have to just use, you can use just voice, though, with that. It's not all hand gestures?
Oh, it's not all hand gestures, no.
Okay. With tutorial, it's not all. Yeah. It'll tell you, you touch the screen, it'll tell you what you're touching.
It'll tell you, let's say, what a one-finger double tap does, or a two-finger double tap, or
instructions.
Left or right.
Yes, that's what tutorial is, honey. It's instructions.
Okay, I want that.
Yeah, that's all it is.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you so much for this.
Sure.
When you go into settings, it's right there.
So when you go into settings, it's right there under accessibility. And yes, when you see tutorial, that's just a list of instructions about how to do it. It'll walk you through it, and then you can try it out and be familiar with it.
Okay, have them.
There's nothing to download. This is part of the operating system. It's already there.
Tutorial. I'm sorry.
All you have to do is turn it on.
Just turn on your computer and go to VoiceOver and go to settings. And when you go to settings, scroll down to accessibility, and that's where the world will be your oyster.
And go to
accessibility, turn on VoiceOver, and there you go.
Yeah.
And you can
VoiceOver. That's what I'll tell them at Best Buy to set up VoiceOver for me.
Well, it's already already set up. It's right there. You just turn it on. It's really simple, stupid. But what Gary had mentioned at the beginning of the call, do you have any other contacts where you are that also are blind?
No, not really.
I hate that.
See, where I'm at right here, there's I don't have any here because the couple of people that were blind that rode the bus don't ride the bus anymore, city bus.
And there's no.
And I don't ride it a whole lot either anymore, especially with the snow the way it is. I have to rely on the GO bus. So, because we're really deep in snow. So, what I do, I don't have a lot of contact because we don't have here a real large blind population, you know, like...
Do you have any organizations locally at all?
Not really.
Really?
We just have the Disability Network is all we got. It used to be CIL, and that's all we have here in Muskegon.
If you know people in other parts of the country... Maybe like one of the when I got my iPhone back in 2014, one of the people who taught me a lot about it was in Los Angeles, and he mentored me, you might say, and we discussed what to do. And if I had a problem, I could get with him, and he would explain it to me. So, if you know people around the country who use, because there are a lot of us who use iDevices, so
yes.
You know.
Yes, and
if you, you know.
So you use the voiceover. I know is already on, and just setting it up so that I can utilize it.
Right.
Just turn it on.
Yeah, just turn it on, and you can use it. But what the settings are going to do is teach you how to use it, so you're comfortable with it.
Okay, like tutorial.
Yeah.
How to use it, the voiceover.
Yeah.
Okay, and that has to be set up. That's right in there with the.
Is any program you open, no matter what it is, David, is going to have settings somewhere, and that settings will allow you to customize any program the way you want it to be customized. Now, in the case of VoiceOver, the reason why Gary is saying go to settings is because that's the easiest place to find out how to set it up for you to be able to use it without seeing it. But there are other settings there too, believe me.
There's all sorts of settings if you go to the main settings screens.
Yeah, but that's...
VoiceOver's right on... The first thing in accessibility is VoiceOver.
Yeah.
And it'll say either off or on. And then you double tap on that and then flick through to various things. And the tutorial is right there in the beginning.
It's right there at the beginning of VoiceOver. All you have to do is turn it on.
Here's the deal. Your iPad or your iPhone or your tablet, it doesn't even matter if it's OS, if it's a laptop, but with Mac, what's going to happen is you can go ahead and go to settings. This is for the whole machine. It's called system settings. All right. And one of the first things you're going to see, you know, you'll see things like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, but one of the first things under general you'll see is the word accessibility. And then with that word, when you get to vision, which is the first thing on there, the first thing under vision is VoiceOver. And when you click on VoiceOver, the first thing you're going to see is open VoiceOver tutorial. And so open it and it'll walk you through it. But so this is not a big deal. You're not opening programs or anything. You're just looking at the system settings, going to accessibility, clicking on VoiceOver, and open VoiceOver tutorial, and you will be there.
Okay. Open up tutorial and, with VoiceOver because it's already in there. And once it'll give me the instructions.
It sure will.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll be able to interact with it. It's an interactive tutorial.
Yeah. So
it'll tell you, you know, the various key gestures.
Yeah. I'm opening it up as we speak. The first thing it does when you click on it says turn on VoiceOver. So you click on turn it on. So now you've turned it on. And
VoiceOver
then,
on accessibility tutorial.
See?
VoiceOver tutorial window toolbar has keyboard focus.
Okay. So you're going to see things that you're going to hear things like that. Now let me turn this off. That's all.
Keyboard focus.
Yeah.
VoiceOver off.
Yeah, VoiceOver off. Thank you very much. Yeah. All right. No, don't stop talking. All right, so yeah.
I wanted to talk.
Yeah, no, I know, absolutely. And
I know. Yeah, you don't need it. Yeah, to talk,
and I would want it to talk too. There are days, believe me, when I'd be happy for it to talk. But yeah, it's done now. It just had to have its final say, and so it did.
Okay, so I set it up for VoiceOver's on there. You know, I have them set up Siri and VoiceOver also so that It's turned on.
You'll be able to do this. There's nothing to this, but if you're having a problem and you're standing there in Best Buy, they'll do it for you because this is as easy as they come. They can be dumb as a rock and do this.
Okay. They may not know much else other than how to turn it on.
But, yeah, right. Exactly. They may not know much else, but they'll be able to turn it on for you. Yeah, so that's a way to go. And check it out. And then
set up voiceover.
Right, and then when you get it done, if you have problems, you call us, and Gary will be listening, or Fran will be listening, or somebody will be listening, I hope, God knows. But anyway, maybe I'm talking to myself, I don't know. But the bottom line is they will help you. We will help you. So go get your tablet and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, I'm going to, because I want to download like iHeart, TuneIn, and my other apps like that one, and then Odyssey.
Anything you want. Yeah, everything I don't want on a machine, you'll want on it. So, yes, you go for it.
Yeah, iHeart works well with VoiceOver.
Yeah, it will.
I've got all these various aggregator apps, and it works well.
Yeah, so there you go. All right. All right, Fran's finding this hilarious. All right, so David, let us know when the tablet is in your hands.
I will.
All right.
If I get one for Christmas.
Well, very good. We're on the air right after it. Call. Okay, thanks.
Yes, I will.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, and Gary, thank you, and thanks to Fran. So always appreciate it.
Oh, sure.
All right.
I had a comment to make about the Internet.
Oh, yeah?
About how you were talking about, you have to be research your information and stuff.
Yeah.
One of the great things about the Internet is that I found a lot of music that I didn't hear when it was out.
Oh,
and
I know.
I've heard it since I've been online. And like Devil with a Blue Dress on by Shirley Long, for example.
Yeah.
Is one that I never heard until 2003 or 4 when I found it.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the great things about the Internet.
Oh, it is. And actually on YouTube, it's one of the nice things about YouTube. They suggest things. And while some of it you think they're high while they're suggesting it, other really works. And you say, God, that's a great record. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
That's my frustration, too, is I'm going to die with over a million obscure R&B songs I would love that I've never heard of. And
I know.
I really wanted to retire to Val Shively's Third Floor, but it just didn't work out. So, because he has no idea what's up there, and it's like, oh God, I'd be in Hog's Heaven. I'd never come out.
Yeah, wouldn't have to worry about eating.
That absolutely throw me a steak now and then again. I'm happy.
All right.
Well, thanks. Right. I appreciate the call.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Okay, good. Okay,
see
bye.
You later.
All right. So with that in mind, I think there's something I have to do like right now on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. We'll forego the bumper because we've got about 5 minutes left and I want to get through a bunch of people. So hopefully I will. If not, we have a full show tomorrow night. That's right. 3 big hours. Call early. I'm talking to myself in the first hour. It'll make me very happy if you call. TJ is in DeKalb. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, how you doing? Long time no talk.
Yes, what have you been doing? Where have you been?
I've been still here in DeKalb, just doing my thing.
All right. Well, if you say.
Doing a lot of DJ work, because I'm a freelance DJ.
Okay, so are you doing like weddings and things?
Yeah, I do a lot of that stuff.
Okay, so what's the strangest venue you've had to deal with?
The strangest one?
Yeah.
I don't have really time to think about it. The best time is going to these places like places for the mentally challenged, and you find out they really get into the music and stuff. They really rock and roll.
So okay, that's an interesting question. If you had to do a top 10 for the mentally challenged, what are the big hits? What do they love?
They like a lot of oldies. They like a lot of oldies.
Yeah, somehow I thought that. I relate. All right.
but the question I wanted to ask you is, I know you don't have a lot of time.
That's all right.
But why is it that some AM stations have done away with live programming at night, especially the all-news station up the dial for you guys?
Oh, yeah.
After 1 o'clock, everything is pre-recorded.
Yes, it is. It's just
numerous,
sad. Because
there's commercials.
Yes. a ton of commercials. In fact, it's unbelievable. I'll get to the commercial second, but let's first talk about the hosting. It's because the time is virtually worthless to them in terms of making money. So when they're cutting budget, one of the first thing they do is find a way to automate the overnight, either with pre-recorded stuff or, you know, this has been going on a long time. If you remember when Larry King took over on Mutual, tons of stations across America, you know, you could get Larry at seven places on the dial. You know, and that's because he made the meters move and it didn't cost him any money. So part of that is just budget. And when you're talking about Odyssey, they are hemorrhaging money. That deal with CBS, oh my dear God, I don't know that they'll survive in the form we know. They could sell everything out and still not satisfy that debt service. So it's hard, you know, one of the first things they did was they cut the overnight. Now, when you hear a bunch of commercials all together, you know, it's like those endless clusters of commercials, like 7 and 8 minutes and all that.
And they repeat the same one.
Exactly.
Over and over.
And part of that is PI, per inquiry, meaning when they don't have anything else to fill in it, they fill a spot that they only get paid if someone actually calls the number. And you can always recognize the PIs because it's usually someone in a different voice when it comes to the phone number saying, call 888-421-3T, you know, like that. But the other thing that is a scourge on the industry, and it's being used by a lot of them, is called programmatic buying. And what it is, the automation systems and the commercial clusters are set up in such a way that agencies, time buyers, at the last minute can bid for and buy a spot. So in other words, let's say it's 2 a.m. and there's 3 avails because no one's bought that time. Well, they might bid $3. And if the system is set up to accept that, then their commercial runs for $3. A lot of it is programmatically, but in the middle of the night in particular, a lot of it's just PIs.
Well, okay. And a lot of it, okay. I was just wondering about that. Why is it that a lot of AM stations, not you guys, but a lot of AM stations do away with live newscasts every hour?
I know. It's
the all news station. It's when they have the all news pre-recorded stuff. It's so-and-so past the hour or 8 minutes
of
past
course.
The hour. You know.
Of course, absolutely. And it comes down to budget, and that's the beauty of WGN. They don't do anything on the cheap. But for many stations, it's not so much as a choice as it is survival. And, it comes down to, you know, when you're not able to repay the debt service and when you have to cut something, well, the easiest things to cut are the times that don't make you money. For the most part, time buyers agencies, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m., they're not buying it. Most of them are buying 6A to 7P. That's the time frame. Mm-hmm. So anything night and overnight is somewhat dead. And so when they have to cut, that's the first place they cut. Do I like it? No, absolutely not. To me, radio is a service. I think they all should be live. But it was back in the 80s. I was speaking at the Clear Channel Broadcasters Association, which actually it was headed by someone from WGN, Wayne Vriesman at the time. And, you know, I said, you know, all you people are sitting here fighting for keeping the Clear Channels clear and not allowing other frequencies on it. Meanwhile, 90% of you in this room are carrying Larry King, and probably only 30% are carrying live news. John says it doesn't matter what I say because I'm off the air. Call me again tomorrow night earlier. We'll talk more. All right. So
that pretty much
is a wrap. And apologies to Naoto and Karen and everybody else. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. 21 hours from now, we do it again. So join me on WGN Radio.